This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Oh, there we go. Mute your microphone, Theo, so there's no little background. There we go. I got you. I got you on this side. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world. West Alabama, how we doing today on this Monday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. What a weekend it was. Holy moly, it was a crazy weekend for me, and we're still getting over it. Little home repairs, getting it done. We're here live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, and I'll start this show off by thanking Derek for helping me with my homeowner's insurance and home project. If you need someone on your side, Derek Daniels is that guy. Call him at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel and State Farm is there, and he was definitely there for me this weekend. So we are getting back online at the house, but we're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios, and we want to shout out Derek from the mountaintops for helping me get back online, get the power back on at the house after a small emergency. We're here with Theo Fernandez. We're here to talk Alabama football. We're going to start off by playing our interview with Caden Proctor. I know I promised that on Saturday, but things went off the rails. Just life was lifing, and so things went off the rails, and so we didn't get that Caden Proctor interview out. We're going to start with a Caden Proctor interview from last week at SEC Media Days. You guys can join us on the comment section at JoeGaither6. You can join us at Theo Fernandez _ at Bama Central. You can leave us a voicemail. We got two voicemails in the tank. I know that at 205-462-7340 extension 800. So we'll go from the Caden Proctor interview to the voicemail line, and then we will do a little dance with Theo Fernandez, as he is also a big part of the help this weekend, helping Hunter and myself as we ran into a little emergency in the house. So I want to thank Theo for that and get this day started. So Theo, I know you're anchoring over the weekend. What was the number one storyline that you gave the people last night on WVUA? And good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And look, you know, I'm a little sick and tired of these, you know, damn freeloaders coming in and trying to, you know, just my always needing to stay in my apartment, but we will deal with that at another time. I will say this weekend, a storyline that hasn't been talked about because we were the only ones who covered it at WVUA. Jameis Winston has youth football camp this weekend, and we got the chance to ask him about the whole Thomas Castellano situation, and Jameis had, I'd say, kind of the answer you'd expect. He was like, basically along the lines of, what do you want the kid to do? Like, do you want him to not have confidence? But then he also acknowledged that, yeah, he is very excited to see the matchup. So getting to talk to Jameis this weekend, although he was not wanting to do a one-on-one interview with me after. I understand it, long day, but it was still a good time. He also talked about Evan Neal. We gave him that soundbite. He basically said that his locker's right next to Evan Neal. They talk every day, and he really, really, really thinks that Evan's putting in the work that will make him a very good starting guard for the Giants this year. So that's a little tidbit that has not quite gotten out there yet.
All right, so we're excited to see that on WVUA here very, very soon, and I appreciate you helping us out, giving us a place to stay last night. Yeah, freeloading. We were all staying in Theo's bed last night. Everybody cuddled up in the air conditioning. I appreciate that.
It was a fun time, King.
Let's go back to Atlanta last week as you were joining me all week long. It was a long week. It was a fun week at SEC Media Days. And on Wednesday, we got to talk to all three players. We talked to Caden Proctor, Deontay Lawson, and Tim Keenan. And I enjoyed my time with Caden Proctor a lot. So let's go ahead and go out to Atlanta and find our interview with Caden Proctor.
Green light. Excellent. Joe Gaither, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Alabama Central.
Yes, sir.
Nice to meet you, too. I'll just get it started. What's your relationship like with Will Conformity? I know you guys are buddies.
That's my guy, man. I mean, we're just so similar in people. Like, we just hit it off from day one. I mean, starting off with recruiting, we'll text each other, kind of found out we were similar through the things we were doing on the visits. And it just keeps growing. It keeps growing. And that's a lifelong relationship right there. Like, that's my brother. Like, I'm going to be there with him through everything, and I know that's going to be the same vice versa. I mean, I got a lot of love for him and his family too.
What's the most taco casa you guys have put down together in one sitting?
I'll say probably three taco four taco burgers, five tacos, and an enchilada is probably the most we both ate.
They got a lot of what you like. That's the slogan, right?
That's exactly right.
So Wilkin's a big cook. What's the best thing that he can put together in the kitchen?
He's been grilling a lot more. Now his granddad has gave us a grill, and he's been on that grill a lot. So chicken wings, chicken breast, steak. I mean, he's turned out to be a really, really good cook. And might be a chef in his later days. I can't lie.
All right. We'll see what the future has in store for him.
No doubt.
The future for you, left tackle this year, third year in a row for Alabama. But you're going to have a new left guard. What's the chemistry like working with all the left guards? And how are you feeling going into the year with a new guy to your right?
I feel great. I mean, whoever it's going to be, I mean, whether it's Gino, Olas, I mean, if Wilkin had came over to left guard, it really is not going to matter because – we're not too focused on who it is going to be right now. It's just we're based on the relationships. We're growing, we're building. And like I said, whoever's going to be at left guard, I know it's going to be the best decision. And I'm going to be proud of whoever that is. And I know I'm going to work well with them, no doubt.
So all summer we've seen Caden Proctor, top five pick, top 10 pick, top end NFL pick. How are you reacting to all the hype and energy you're kind of receiving?
I've just been thinking that I haven't proven myself yet. I just had surgery. I haven't played to the level that I've wanted to play yet. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on this season. Not really focusing on what everybody else is saying on the internet or whatever they have to say about top five or number one. It's really just the internal, you know, day-to-day basis going through Alabama football. I mean, everything is going to take care of itself at the end. If that happens, it happens. But that's not the focus right now.
So you've had the same quarterback for two seasons in a row, Jalen Milroe. Now you'll have a new quarterback behind you. Is there anything different in your game or anything different that you need to do at left tackle, whoever the quarterback ends up being?
No, it's the same ask of me. Just to protect the running backs, protect the quarterbacks, and make sure they make big plays. We might not get the credit for it, but, hey, I know I'm out there doing my job, but they're out there doing their job. So whoever's starting that quarterback, I'm going to be proud of them, and it's going to be a blessing blocking for them.
So you've been starting for the Crimson Tide. This will be your third season.
Sir.
How is Caden Proctor different from 2023 freshman Caden Proctor to now junior Caden Proctor?
Just experience. I mean, with playing games comes through the experience and the knowledge. I feel like I've grown and gained knowledge throughout this process, and that just helps me play faster as a player. Obviously, the thinking is the big part of it where you that factors in a lot. I mean, it's not the weight. I know people say, oh, I was 365 my freshman year, but I played last year at 375 and I'm moving way quicker because I don't have to think as much.
Sure.
So that's what people gotta know is like that's a big factor that goes into it. But I feel like I've grown mentally, physically, I'm stronger, I'm faster, and I feel like I'm prepped up for the season.
What's your game day routine? What, you got any superstitions, anything that you have to do going into a game?
I know that it's a tradition that the offensive line walks around the field once, and then before we get into our little pregame warm-up that we do. But last year I found out that I stretched out my hips before the games just so I can be loose and move a little bit better. So I'm definitely going to continue that. I feel like that was kind of a superstition, not really a superstition for me, but just stretching to get ready for the game. And J.C. Latham had taught me his little routine that we do. I would do it with him my whole freshman year, and that's kind of carried on to what I do now. So that's the things that I do.
What's on the pregame playlist?
Pregame playlist, it's a mix between gospel, Christian music, 90s R&B, or hardcore rap. I know it's a mix, but when I'm walking into the stadium with the Walk of Champions, it's more of that rap, getting in that mode, getting in there. When I get into the locker room, I kind of keep it going. When I'm on the field, keep that rap going. But when I come down, sit down, I kind of chill, just take a moment to thank God for the opportunities that I've been placed in, and listen to that gospel Christian music. And that's kind of how it is. And then after that, you take your headphones off and it's time to play.
Last one for me. Alabama gets a lot of wins. What's Caden Proctor's victory routine? Do you got a meal or something you like to do after a win? What do you like? How do you like to celebrate a win in that 24 hours?
I feel like the victory routine has been Wilkin and I going out late night food, whether it's Jimmy John's, Wingstop, Waffle House. We always got to eat after the game, man. And that's sometimes it's like, man, where are we gonna eat after the game? You know, trying to think ahead, but. But I would say eating is definitely biggest after a long, tough, hard-fought game. We got to go out to eat, man. As big boys, got to fuel our bodies.
Absolutely. Caden Proctor with the All-Star Special after the game. Going to be an All-Star this year for Alabama at left tackle. Caden, thank you so much for joining me today.
Appreciate
Best
you.
Best of luck the rest of the day. We look forward to the season.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it, Caden Proctor, one of the top prospects in the 2026 NFL draft. And we really, between that and between filming him at the podium at Media Day, we heard a lot from him. And it really gives you a not newfound perspective, because yeah, we'd heard him talk in the past, but you really this year see just how much things are kind of centered around him, and how knowing how important he will be as kind of the anchor, the guy on that line. Like, he is going to not make or break, but he is going to be one of the biggest players in this offense as far as, you know, determining how far this team can go if he can make sure Ty gets that blindside protection. So, huge season on the way for him, both in terms of draft stock and in terms of Alabama's on-field success. And then hear him talk, really just my take is, seems like a very grounded guy, seems like a very, you know, motivated football player, and it's nothing out of the ordinary, but I think that there's nothing but good things to say about his preparation, his routines, everything that he's talked about in these interviews.
All right, Theo, great your boy. 7 minutes. Was that a B? That was an A minus. Or did you, what was it, an F? Or put me under the microscope real quick for those 7 minutes.
I'll give it a B plus.
Okay.
I'll give it a B plus there. I mean, definitely a enjoyable interview. Nothing to critique there, you know, and it's hard. You know, if you can't give every interview that A grade, because then they all lose weight. But I had no complaints on the interview.
All right. Biggest takeaway for me, I asked him about left guard and just kind of how it's going. And he mentioned two names. He mentioned Geno and Olas. He did not mention Cam Dewberry. Mm-hmm. Which, now, I don't think that means Cam Dewberry is out by any means, but I did think that that was notable. I did think that that was notable that he led with Geno and Olas, and I think that that might give us a slight picture going into fall camp that those two guys are maybe your 1 and 1A, and Geno, and Cam might be your 1C.
Yeah, and I mean, now a couple weeks ago, and I remember it was a Dax voicemail where we were reacting to the offensive line, and I said that I just wasn't sure on Dewberry, just because I don't think any of us know a lot about him. Any Alabama guy is trying to say it, unless they legitimately sat down and watched the A&M film, is lying a little bit. So I'm not the most surprised by this being said. And again, this doesn't mean that Dewberry won't be competing for the starting job at all.
Right.
You know, we've so much time. And I would imagine that the gap between the three of them is probably pretty small.
Yeah, I think they're all on that one line as far as can win the starting job.
But I would agree that I think most Alabama fans, I think the consensus, and even when you look at like the sites that post depth charts, I think most people kind of assumed it was Cam's job.
I was assuming that he was closer to 1A and that it was Olas at 1B and Gino at 1C.
I would agree with that.
But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think that is an underrated question mark going into fall camp. Everybody, I mean, too many quarterback questions. Too many quarterback questions and nothing changing. You know, Friday, Theo, I kind of went crazy with Mason that, like, nothing's changed since the spring. Nothing and so that's why I didn't try to ask him who's going to be the starting quarterback and get the same canned answer. Whoever it is, I wanted to ask him about his game. And then, are you a Taco Casa man? I mean, you're an out-of-towner, so yeah, have you tried it yet?
I have never eaten it, but I talks about those hamburger tacos.
Taco Casa. They got a lot of what you like. That's the jingle right there.
Joe, is it legitimately worth me going out of my way to try it?
You can't be in town for 4 years and not try it. Now, can you be in town, try it, and not love it? I think that is a possibility. But I think that it's really good. I think it's good for what it is. I think it's definitely good. Okay. I'm a fan of it. Is it maybe just a touch pricier than I would like? Maybe a touch, but it is good. I'll do a chicken taco. I'll do a little combo number 2, 3, or 4, one of those. You get a combo number 2, you get any of those combos, you get a couple burritos or whatever, you get rice and beans, you get the chips. It's a full meal right there. So they do it right. They do it really, really, really good. And so, like, if you're going thinking that you're going to have Taco Bell, you're going to be like, this isn't what I pictured. But it's very much like fast style, full-on Mexican, really. So if you're just in the hankering for a couple burritos, a couple tacos, yeah, I'm a fan. I'm definitely a Taco Casa fan. Do I go every week? No, I'm sorry. I don't go every week. But do I go every so often? What is that, every so often? Every once in 5 weeks, once in 6 weeks? Yes, absolutely. It's in my rotation. There's so many great food options in Tuscaloosa that I don't go to any one of them very often. I kind of just keep it every fifth, sixth week with most of my food options. And yeah, Taco Casa is in that rotation.
Good to know. I'll keep that in mind. And some point this coming year, I will be sure to swing by Taco Casa.
Well, maybe we can get Taco Casa to sponsor the program and I can give you a gift card.
That'd be exceptional.
Right. We just tried to hype him up and what our tweet, how many thousands of views did that get with Caden Proctor? It got, oh, roll on down here. I guess I should click media and it'll go faster. With that, it got 14,000 views. So 14,000 people saw that answer on Caden Proctor. 4 taco burgers, couple enchiladas, couple bread taco. I mean, one of the commenters was, thank God for NIL. That was probably $250. But no, we had a lot of fun with Caden Proctor. I enjoyed the fact that he went right back to food at the end. We started with Wilkin, Taco Casa, and Wilkin's cooking ability. I don't know. Do you follow Wilkin on the social medias?
I do not, actually. I probably should.
If you follow him on certain social medias, you will see that he is always throwing down cooking something. And so maybe that's why Caden is Wilkin's best friend, because Caden just likes to eat what Wilkin cooks.
Yeah, I mean, that is always a plus with your roommate.
So they're getting down. I enjoyed my time with Caden Proctor. I'm expecting a good season out of him. I enjoyed his insight on, you know, getting my hips loosened. When I heard it live, I first thought he said I stressed my hips, but then when I listened to it back, he said I stretched my hips before the games, and I was like, oh, okay, good stuff. I think it's gonna be good year for Caden Proctor. Will he end up good enough? Will his year end up good enough to be a top 12 NFL draft pick? What did Armon Membu end up at? Is 6?
8? I want to say 8, maybe 6.
Armon Membu was 7. There you go, right in between both of us.
Well, we had that debate. I remember the Proctor or Caleb Downs will be drafted higher. I think Proctor will be a top. I'll go top 8 on Proctor. But one of the things that really struck me is when we were talking to him at the podium.
Yeah.
And asking him, someone asked him about, you know, all the draft buzz he's getting. He was very upfront. He said, I don't think I deserve to be talked about that way. I don't think I've put in the body of work that justifies it. So you see that, you know, none of that is getting to his head. You can be sure on that one. Which is understandable. I mean, look, Proctor finished. And a lot of this is due to Jalen Milroe and the nature of how he played QB, but Proctor tied for the most sacks allowed in FBS last season. You know, like Alabama fans, let me say this. If you were a blind Alabama fan and you watched games on the radio, listened to games on the radio and you had no idea what Caden Proctor looked like, and you found out that he was this high of a draft prospect, there's reason to be a little surprised. But then obviously when you look at, oh, look at this guy's ceiling with the size and all that, that obviously changes things.
Jalen Milroe, pat the football, stare, hop, little baby hop. Oh, now I should move. And instead, I'm probably moving backwards, not forward in the pocket. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to have a good year, and I think the quarterback play will be conducive to him having a good year. I think the ball is going to be getting out pretty quickly. Whether it gets down the field is another issue, but I think it's going to be getting out pretty quickly. Now, I think it can get down the field. I think you're just going to have to get tied to a place of comfortability right there.
I want to pose you a question real quick, Joe.
Nope, can't do it.
So now that we're a week removed from Media Days and you've had time to reflect on everything, let the dust settle, compared to how you felt about Alabama football 1 week ago today when we first got to Atlanta, do you feel better, worse, or the same about the season that's coming up?
I feel slightly better. My answer probably leans towards the same, but I feel slightly better. Nothing changed over the week. Nothing changed. The schedule stayed the same. The road schedule stayed brutal. And you've got the same question marks. Now, I'll tell you this. I felt worse about the specialist. I felt worse. The answer that I got from Coach DeBoer, and then he talked about it again at the podium, I felt worse. I walked away feeling like the answers are still question marks. Mm-hmm. Now, he gave me – I was happy to get that expressive answer and to have him bite on the question, but it really kind of was like, yeah, we don't know, to me. Like, boiling it down to, like, distilling his answer down to, like, one little line, yeah, that's what I got from it. Oh, we're just going to have to see. We're just going to have to find out together. And I'm like, So that makes me feel worse by far. But obviously, I mean, he's playing a little bit coy with us because he doesn't want to give away. Yeah, we got the best kicker in the nation. We got the best punter, the best snapper. We're going to be great. But he also doesn't want to go, well, they all suck. They're all terrible. We can't punt and kick for anything. So it was definitely playing coy and trying to read in between the lines. But I think it was a kind of a, well, we're going to find out about Connor Talti and Blake Dowd, and we're going to find out about these guys. But as far as the offensive line goes, I mean, we really heard from three veterans. We heard from Tim Keenan, and Keenan and Deontay Lawson showed quiet confidence, I thought. With the all disrespect will be addressed,
which is a very, very tough quote.
They show quiet confidence, and I think the defense feels good about where they are and what they're going to be going into the season like, and they should. You end the year as strong as you did. You bring back as many guys as you do. Hopefully the leadership is very high. Then I think that you should feel good defensively. If you're Alabama. And so that was perfect for Tim and for Deontay. Now, Deontay did give me a little pause saying, oh, my knee is a 9 out of 10. And when we play the Deontay Lawson interview, I got into the mental aspect of the recovery because I think that that is the toughest part of an ACL recovery. Trusting your knee, trusting yourself, trusting your instincts, and just turning your brain off and going to play. Read your keys. Up, guard's pulling. I'm following the guard to the play, right? You know, I'm doing my job. Up, guard's pass setting. I'm dropping back into pass coverage and finding my man across in the middle, right? Just reacting to what he needs to see. We got into the mental aspect, and I am, you know, all summer long, I've been, will Deontay Lawson be healthy? That's my concern for the inside linebacker room. And I don't know that I'm really... I don't know that that he really settled me. Now, he didn't make me more concerned. He didn't make me think that he's not recovered. He said he's at a 9 out of 10, which that's about where you should be at this point, given the timeline. That's where you should be. But camp's coming up in 2 weeks. We got to get you to a 10 pretty quickly. And will Alabama be babying you through fall camp? Probably. And they probably should be.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right. Jeff Allen's going to manage that knee very well. I mean, as well as anybody in the country. So, like, I have no doubt about the Alabama medical care. And I have really no doubt about Deontay Lawson's athleticism and his work rate, his drive. But it's just one of those things where anything can happen. And, you know, you take a bad step in fall camp and it swells up for 3 days. And it just is something that makes me concerned. And so, like, he didn't really settle that for me. Caden was great. Caden really leaned into, I'm going to show my personality at SEC Media Days. You saw him with the Heisman Trophy pose in one of those pictures. You saw him, or you heard him talk about 170 colognes. And, oh, Dax hit me with a new name. Not the name I said last week that might have been a contraception. He said Crispy because, you know, he talked about his nickname for the team is Crispy because he likes donuts. Crispy by Proctor. Maybe that's a step better than mine. I don't know if that's the answer quite yet, but it's a step better than the name we're not going to mention because it sounded like contraception.
It absolutely did.
About the same, but maybe slightly like 3% better. I think Coach DeBoer did really well. I think Coach DeBoer was really, really comfortable up at the podium. And I thought that Coach DeBoer was comfortable in all these one-on-one interviews. And so from a this is DeBoer's program standpoint, I do think it's better than last year. And so. Yeah, about 2-3% better. Not much. So close to about the same, but maybe just 1-3% better. What about you?
No, I agree. Like, from an excitement standpoint, yeah, I'm a lot more excited for the season. But from a how do I feel about the team, I think it'd be dumb to put much more than 2-3% stock into what was said. We'll say I'm just like you, concerned about the specialists. Now, I've missed a lot of field goals in NCAA.
Yes.
With this Alabama team. We talked last week about, remember, fans, don't put any stock into this. But it's, man, this is the only taste of it that I have right now. I hope.
You're on the road.
Yeah.
It's South Carolina. And sandstorm is going on.
You just can't.
You're down 14-17 going into halftime. You're on the 33-yard line on 4th-and-7. There's 18 seconds left in the half. And you're sending your kicker out to try to tie it before you go into the locker room.
That's rough.
Oh, that would the stress. That would stress me so bad.
Stadium pulse, man. Do you think we're headed for a pre-Riker type year?
Yes.
Yeah. You think that's what we're looking at right now?
Do you remember those days? You're young. Do you remember?
You see,
Cade Foster. Do you remember Adam Griffith?
I feel like I would always get on my social media or when they were showing the highlights, there would always be something with an Alabama kicker missing. It felt like a pretty regular occurrence.
Who is the kicker that his last name was the same as a watch?
Couldn't tell you that one.
Oh, God. He missed it down in Auburn 2017 Alabama Auburn. He ended up transferring to Vanderbilt. He ended up transferring to Vanderbilt. His last name was the same as a timekeeper. Uh, Not Papanastos. I'm a year off. All right, keep going.
But yeah, no, we'll see. I mean, special teams are always
Bulovas, James Bulovas. Bulovas timekeepers.
There we go. You got it. That's good because I really was not going anywhere with that.
Every time he stepped up, I thought of a watch. But no, Papanastos, Bulovas. I mean, Jeremy Shelley was great when he finally clicked with it for him. But for a second, not good. Cade Foster, largely not good. It was a rough time in the Saban era for a little bit.
Will Reichert was one of the times.
Godsend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my buddy's kicking an FCS school right now. We might have to hit him up, get him down to Tuscaloosa.
Is he any good?
He was getting recruited.
Yeah, well, how's his mentals?
We don't want him here.
Oh, okay.
We don't want him. We okay. do not want him here.
Okay, so yeah. He's going to crumble under pressure.
No disrespect to Drew, but...
Drew's going to crumble under pressure. We do not want him kicking down in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
He plays at Wagner in Staten Island, which is the lowest attendance of any FBS or FCS school in the nation.
What, five people?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely don't want him...
You send him here and...
How about you kick in front of 100,000 people down in Jordan-Hare? What do they hold? They hold like 80-something.
I think high 80s, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, sorry, buddy. You're going to have to find a middle ground before. Yeah.
You work your way up, man. 3 years of eligibility, you got it.
Yikes. Yeah, I'm definitely concerned about the special teams. And then offensive line is still a question for me because of left guard and because I want to see it with Wilkin. Is my predetermined, is my perception going into the year of Wilkin that he's going to be a good player? Yes. Yes, I think he's going to be a solid right tackle. Now, is there room for that take to be wrong and him to be not so hot? Yeah, I mean, yes, there is. He's really in the I haven't proven it camp. I just like him based on just knowing him for so long. There at Northridge, covering him at Northridge and watching his progression so far here in Tuscaloosa, I think I think there's nobody that works harder than Wilkin. So he's going to give himself a really good chance to be a good right tackle, but is there also a chance that is not so great? Yeah, and you're turning to Jackson Lloyd, Mal Waldrop, you're turning to someone else, you're turning to Micah DeBose, you're turning, like, there's,
I will say, just knowing that you have three, I don't know if superstars is the right word, but I mean, pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
Three absolutely elite pieces on that line to the point where I almost feel like, okay, like there's really no excuse to not be a top three unit in the SEC, I'd say.
What do you think about Jaden Roberts? I had a friend who messaged me 2 weeks ago after we did preseason all SEC picks on the show before we even voted. And he was like, you got Jaden Roberts as an all SEC? And I said, yeah, I do. And he ended up saying, oh, he was not good last year. He called him, what did he call him? A professional matador, I think is what he called him. And I thought, that's pretty harsh. The man was playing with a broken hand last year, broken thumb, broken hand last year. What do you think about Jaden Roberts?
I think he's great. I see no reason to not buy into him as an elite guard for this season. And he's one of the top three or four ranked guards in the draft class, too. So I see no reason to come into the season with any doubts at all about Jaden Roberts.
Yeah, I'm excited for him as well. I think he's going to be really, really solid. Now, we didn't really get into this with Mason, but who all did you vote for? Did you end up submitting a ballot?
I did, and I have my picks right in front of me.
All right. How many Alabama players did you end up voting for offensively?
Offensively.
Because I didn't vote for that. Well, I voted for, as you pulled up, you saw Jam got nominated or got listed. I didn't vote for Jam.
Really? So, I had Jam as my number three.
Three?
Yeah.
You're getting drug tested after the show.
He was the third team selection, so like...
Yeah, you're getting drug tested after the show.
He was the third team selection. The consensus agreed with me.
Yes, but here's my take on that. Most of the people in that room need to be drug tested. You got two Vanderbilt votes for first place. You got one Auburn vote for first place. Most of the people in that room are covering one or two teams, right? And they're just familiar with that one or two teams. And so they just take, oh, well, the Texas player is good. The Georgia player is good. The Alabama player. I'm going to vote for my guy. And, you know, I'm covering Missouri. I'm going to vote for my guy, Ahmad Hardy. And then I'm going to vote for the next three players, Wisner, Nate Frazier, and Jam Miller, right? The three backs running, three other running backs from the best three teams. That's my perspective on that. I didn't vote for Jim. You had six options, right?
Yeah.
I didn't vote. He wasn't even in my top six.
I mean, I had Wisner and Ott, 1-2, and then Jam 3. They completely agreed with me.
That's nuts. Wisner should be in there. Caden Durham. Jaden Ball. Nate Frazier.
I had Le'Veon Moss as my number four.
I think I put Moss in there as well.
Anyway.
All right, keep going. So, Jam, we disagreed on Jam. I voted for Ryan 1 and Jeremy, like, it was six selections for wide receiver, right? Yeah. Six or eight?
It was six.
Okay, so I voted Ryan 1, Cam Coleman 2, and then I think I put Jeremy at 5.
I had Jeremy right at 5, yeah.
Okay, great. What about you? Because I'm not looking at my list. I'm just remembering.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I had Jeremy 5, Ryan 1. I completely agreed with that one.
Did you throw Isaiah Horton in there?
I did not. I just didn't
too have many dang good wide receivers.
There are there are a lot of guys to give votes to. Like, I had Concepcion in there. Mm-hmm. I had Cam Coleman, obviously. So I just didn't think there was room for him for a third Alabama receiver to make that list. I actually I had Ryan Wingo at 2.
Good pick.
I put him above Cam Coleman.
With Arch Manning connection. Oh.
Yeah, no, I think he'll put up numbers. And Arch Manning he was my first team.
First, second, and third team quarterback. Yeah.
No, he's going to be insane. So for the linemen, I put Proctor and Roberts on there. Those are the only two that I gave votes to.
Yeah.
Because center then, was a different.
Yeah, Brailsford was in a different category.
With Jake Slaughter with Florida, he's just unreal. He was my first team selection, and then went Brailsford, and then Connor Lue from Auburn at third.
Mm-hmm. I went Brailsford, Slaughter, Lue.
Slaughter, and again, this is purely off of just film I've seen on X. I never particularly noticed him watching a Florida game, but I also never really knew to look out for him. But I've had him hyped up to me by a bunch of people this offseason, saying that he's going to be a really big-time player.
Now, the defense was fairly interesting because you didn't have an Alabama player on the first team defense. And I was a part of that because I didn't vote for any linebacker. I didn't vote for Deontay. I didn't vote for Jefferson. There were so many good linebackers. So many. I voted for Will Weeks, Torian York. Who else did I vote for? C.J. Allen. You got six picks, right? Yeah. C.J. Allen for sure. I voted for, you know. I voted for Centarian Perkins in that group. I just didn't find room for Deontay. Really? There was just so many good ones. I voted for the kid from Missouri, Crawford, right? I think his name's Crawford, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't vote for a single Alabama linebacker.
Wow.
I voted for LT at 2 or 3 on the defensive line, and I voted for Tim Keenan like last in my last spot. And I know Tim got a lot of votes, but there was just so many good defensive linemen to choose from that it was like, it was really hard for me to put any of these Alabama guys over. Now for DB, I did end up putting Damani 1. I put Damani 1 and I put Bray like 4 or 5.
You see,
they messed up. Like you messed up with DBs by putting all the corners and all the safeties in one category, and you only could take six, I think. And so I ended up cornerback heavy, and I had very few safeties. And so you mess up your opportunity for a guy like Keon Sab, for a guy like Bray. I think that next year, SEC, if you listen to this program, you need to break up the corners and the safeties into two separate groups, please.
Could not agree more on that one. So I put Deontay 4 on the linebackers. Put him behind Hill, put him behind Perkins, and then I put him behind Whit Weeks. I put Tim Keenan at number 1 on defensive line. I am very, very high on Tim Keenan, and I've
Ramsey Ram. Let's go.
This is something that I've said many times. Something that I'll excuse me, hiccups coming at me. Something that I will continue to say. But I really think that Tim Keenan is just going to be incredible. And one of the cool tidbits from the weekend, I thought, was asking Anthony Hill about who he thought the best defensive player in the SEC was. And his first was, obviously, besides himself, was the way the question was framed. And his first name was Harold Perkins. And then right after that, he says, oh, Tim Keaton. Forgot his name. He was like, is it? He was like, Tim, I don't want to get it wrong. Allen. And then I was like, nah, Keenan. And it's like, yeah. But that's some big recognition there.
I think he's really, really solid. The problem is he's not going to put up huge numbers.
Yeah, but that does not matter.
It doesn't matter to you and me watching the film, but like to Billy Box Score Watcher, yeah. They're going to think he's not good.
But to the voters,
most of them are Billy Box Score Watchers.
I think that Tim Keenan will get the recognition. I had him on there. I gave LT Overton. I think I had him pretty low. I think I had him like 7 on that list, but there are just so many good linemen.
Yes.
And then I had Damani at 2, Bray at 4, and then Zabian at 6 on the defensive backs. Which Zabian, that may be a little high for him, but
I like Zabian Brown.
I do too. I think he'll be good.
All right, so we had a lot of fun in Atlanta. Let's pivot real quick to the voicemail line. Let's see what else is on there. I know we got a voicemail from Robert Brookwood and one from Hunter Brantley, so we'll hit both of these back-to-back. Remember, you can call the voicemail line 205-462-7340, extension 800. Before we do, I want to remind you that the program is brought to you by Derek Daniel and State Farm. Call Derek today for all of your insurance needs. 205-758-3391. Home, life, auto insurance needs, boaters insurance, renters insurance needs. He's currently helping me out with a project at the house, so definitely can give you firsthand kudos. I had a little emergency at the house this weekend, and Derek was all over it, getting me back online, getting everything straightened out. So big kudos to Derek Daniel for that. I'm very appreciative of that, and you should give him a try today. Call him at 205-758-3391.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hi, it's Robert from Brookwood. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I've got some questions that I've always been confused about or not understanding. Maybe y'all can help me. Why does Alabama not play in-state schools? Auburn, to their credit, has played Samford, Jack State, Alabama A&M, Alabama State. I think they play Troy. I think they play South Alabama. Why do we have to play schools from other states to come here? We can keep and help the in-school states out. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Perfect. Good start. And I'll tackle this because – I think there's some history involved there, Theo. The theory that I've always heard is that Coach Bryant didn't want to because it gave the other schools a bit of a foothold. Let's say UAB beats Alabama. Well, they're going to parade that around for years and years on end. And I think that everything that I was told as a young media journalist, I'm still fairly young, but as a younger guy, I was asking these same questions, and I was told, well, Coach Bryant didn't want to because he didn't want to give any recruits any thought to, yeah, maybe I will go to Jacksonville State. Maybe I will go to South Alabama. Maybe I will go to Troy or Alabama State. And, of course, you see what happened to Michigan and App State. Anytime that is brought up, you remember the blocked field goal and App State going crazy. That's the reason that I was always told. That we don't want to give a foothold to those other schools. But I think that's hooey. I think that that is an old school approach. I think that is an old school approach that probably applied in the 60s. Absolutely applied in the 60s and 70s, sure. And maybe even up to the 80s when you're largely recruiting locally, right? You're largely recruiting the Southeast and you're recruiting out of the phone book, you're recruiting at, you got to go find Billy Smith's number, and there's 20 Smiths, and you got to call the right number, right? I do think that that was probably an applicable theory up until about the invention of the internet. Now, that's just the theory that I was always told, was you don't want to give the UABs, the Jack States, the South Alabamas a foothold in the state. What if they beat you? They can use it in recruiting. We don't want Billy Four Star from, you know, right down the road to think, well, maybe I should go to UAB and I'll be a starter right as a freshman and I'll be on the field and we can beat Alabama like we just beat Alabama last year, whatever the case may be. I've heard that theory multiple times, and I've heard it applying to basketball as well. Theo, what do you think about a MTE, right? You know, multi-team event, basketball. Yes. We're going over to Vegas for the Players Era Festival. Mm-hmm. What do you think about an MTE in Birmingham that had Alabama, UAB, Jack State, South Alabama, Troy, and Auburn?
I would be all over that.
Oh,
come on. Would that not be the coolest thing ever?
I would, if I weren't media credentialed, I would be buying tickets for that.
Oh, without a doubt.
But I've heard the same theory apply. I've heard it that has been bandied about in the ether. Hey, let's do this. And I've heard the big boys, Auburn included, but largely the Alabama side, we're not playing the in-state schools.
Even if it had to be a thing where Alabama and Auburn insisted on being the host for it, I think it would still be awesome. Right,
of course. And you had but when the coach at Texas A&M, Bucky McMillan, he was just at Sanford.
Yeah.
So Bucky, if you'd have had a little UAB, Sanford, Alabama, Troy, you know, South Alabama, Jack State, just bring in everybody from everybody that's playing basketball, and let's do a 4-day event. Oh my gosh!
And my thing with that is, Alabama is not competing with any of those schools.
Not anymore. Go ahead.
Right. Now, okay, for football, I think to a certain extent, maybe you can make the argument that a guy, a 3-star from Birmingham, oh, UAB beat Alabama this year. Maybe I'll go be a star at UAB instead of, you know, buried in the depth chart of Bama. In basketball, they're not even in the same stratosphere. There's no competition. Basketball makes all the sense in the world. You know, one thing I want to pull in here was when Arkansas was speaking, you know, we heard Sam Pittman talk, and he was asked about Arkansas, Arkansas State.
Yeah.
Which I was shocked to learn, like, wasn't a regular game. Like, they just played for the first time, I believe, in 2023 ever. Mm. And they played in Little Rock. And basically, it was like, you know, the governor of the state wanted the game to happen. So basically, Pittman was asked, what would you think about continuing this game? And he could just tell no enthusiasm behind that idea. And he basically said, if it were to happen, it would have to be exclusively in Fayetteville. Like, we're not doing a 2-1. We're not doing a 3-1. We're not playing a neutral site game. Like, no, it is going to be in Fayetteville. And even then, he just did not sound like it's something he wanted to do. And I get it to an extent. I get the philosophy behind that idea. I get how horrible of a look it is if Kalen DeBoer brings up Troy and they pull an LSU.
Yikes!
But I think,
if you're losing to those schools anyways.
Yeah. But then I think there's another argument to be made, which we talked about this, I think, off the record, Joe, in Atlanta. You pay. Alabama pays Alabama State to come up and play for Cupcake Week, right? Alabama State gets a brand new paycheck. They have some money coming in. They decide, oh, look, this extra cash, we can run a youth football clinic in Montgomery. And the 10-year-old kid who's one day going to be a 4-star is now getting better training, better development. Like, there's such an argument for pouring money into the state where you play. That can be said across the board. That can be said for LSU, scheduling ULM,
mm-hmm.
Arkansas, Arkansas State, for Florida, get bringing up FIU. You can make the argument anywhere. And I think that pouring money into your own state and helping out the programs there. Yeah, will it be very, very embarrassing if you lose that game? Yes. If Troy ever beats Alabama, Crimson Tide fans will quite literally never hear the end of it. It'll be something they hold over their heads forever. And if you play those games every year, eventually it's probably going to happen. But if you're living, if you're acting out of fear of these tiny schools, come on, man.
Well, who are we? You're the University of Alabama. Yeah. You are the premier college football brand. You want to argue Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Clemson? Fine. We can argue them. But you're in a top five. You're right. Top five college football brand. You should not be you should not make any decision out of fear. The University of Alabama should be leading college football and say, and exactly what you're what you're getting at. Wow. We can help the rest of our in-state schools. We can really make sure that football stays as a massive sport.
Right.
The foothold. Think about, you get kids who their daddies went to Jack State, and Jack State is coming to Alabama to play. That kid is going to be much more into, well, let me watch that game rather than watching, no disrespect, Jack State against any other power schools or Jack State against the low-level schools. That game is going to get a lot of eyeballs from, and so.
And for the record, this applies to Auburn, too. Like, even with where Auburn's standing is okay, they're not the level of program that Alabama is.
They're not?
But you're still that much higher in standing than the smaller schools. It should go for both. It should go for all of these schools. It should be, you know, Ohio State needs a bye game. Okay, Xavier, an in-state FCS school, will bring you guys in if we need a cupcake game. I just think that college football, in an age where things are getting more and more and more national, this is a great way to hang on to one thread of regionality. One of the things that makes college football what it is. Building and fostering the community of football in your own state. Every school could be doing this. And I just think it's a no-brainer.
So it may be the wrong theory, Robert, but I was told a long time ago that because Coach Bryant didn't want to give a foothold to the smaller schools, I believe his son is still a pretty powerful player in the state and carries on his father's philosophy, which, why wouldn't you? The things that my father thinks, I think as well. I'll just say that. There's not a slant on Paul Jr., but that's the reason that's what I was told. And maybe that's incorrect. And if it is incorrect, look, I invite you to call me on the voicemail line 205-462-7340, extension 800. Leave me a little further education. We always want to get smarter on the program, and our education is a little bit limited. We just want to hear from you if there's another theory, if my theory is incorrect, or if you have another theory. We are wide open to that. Robert? Appreciate the call, my man. I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much. I hope you're getting ready for football season. Give us a call back very, very soon, and I know you will. Let's keep going on the voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800.
What's going on, boys? It's been a while since I talked to y'all, since I called in.
It's been long.
But anyway, unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to go to SEC Media Days this year, which sucks because I wanted to ask Coach DeBoer a very important question. Everybody touched on the Florida State disrespect about Tommy Castellanos and what he said, and it was pretty disrespectful, but I thought there was a little bit more in the disrespectful tank than just what he said. I don't know if y'all are aware, but South Carolina decided to name Alabama as their homecoming game on October 25th in Columbia, and personally, I think that's about as blatantly disrespectful as it gets, because historically, you schedule a team for homecoming, that's not very good. You get alumni back on campus, and it's an easy win. None of those three have anything to do with the brand that is Alabama football. We are the biggest brand in college football right now. I know we haven't won a national championship in a while, but that's neither here nor there. And I'm just under the impression that you just don't schedule Alabama for homecoming. It's an unwritten rule to schedule someone like a powerhouse like Alabama. And I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that. I know Theo's going to say some BS and say, oh, you're reaching for something that's not there. It's not there. I don't know what you're talking about. If I was a player on that team, I would be motivated by this. And when South Carolina week comes around, that's going to get me fired up and ready to play. But I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that, and I'll talk to y'all later.
This
he called you out. Go ahead.
This is the same kind of weak mentality that leads to, oh, we're not willing to schedule an in-state school, or, oh, we need to play an eight-game conference schedule and cancel all our non-conference matchups. Like, come on, man. That's just a soft take from Hunter. I'm sorry, man. Like, nobody. Why are we offended by this? Why is this disrespectful? I don't get it. Is it true that, traditionally speaking, you play an easier school for homecoming? Yeah. I mean, my high school, we'd win our homecoming football game like 57-0. We played Hyde Park, FDR's hometown, and we would just destroy him every year. And it was cool. Like, all the kids would, you know, have the parade and then win a football game. And it was such a cool moment. And this is the SEC, man. Because it's the SEC. You want South Carolina to just not, like, what? Just do it for a week game? Not have a real matchup? No, this is a school embracing competition. This is a school having the guts to go out and say, we'll have our homecoming, we'll have our festivities, and then we're going to play a great football game against Alabama. How are we, Matt? How are we complaining about this? Come on. You look at homecoming. What is the point of it? It's to get alumni back on campus. This is the biggest game. You can make the argument, I would say, that this is the biggest conference game, excluding the Clemson matchup, that South Carolina has played in the last decade. I cannot remember South Carolina entering a season with this much of a chance ever to actually make the playoff, obviously because it's expanded and because of what they did last year and returning all this talent, and everyone's on the South Carolina train. And how do you show that you're a playoff team? You go out and you beat Alabama. And what South Carolina alumni won't want to come back for this game? You know, so what are you going to do? You're going to make the homecoming another week and people are going to come in because they play Oklahoma the week before, right? So that's the only other home game that kind of fits that homecoming window where you could do it. But everyone wants to be there for Alabama, so why not just schedule it so that everyone can come see the Alabama game and take part in the festivities? And think about how passionate that fan base will be that day. I see no reason at all to be mad or upset or disrespected by this. And the one thing of value that you said in that voicemail, Hunter, was at the end, talking about Alabama being fired up. Yeah, like as an Alabama fan, don't you want the opportunity to go in there and ruin their perfect day? This is supposed to be South Carolina's like coronation as, oh, look, we're a great team. We're going to make the playoff this year. And Alabama just runs out there, blows them out of the water. Don't you want that? Or have we reached a point as a fan base where we're just so scared of anything? Come on, man. You're clutching at pearls here.
Season's on the brink if you're South Carolina right here on Saturday, October 25th. Look at the schedule. You're going to play Mercedes-Benz, Virginia Tech, so neutral site. You're going to whack South Carolina State. You're going to host Vanderbilt. You're going to Missouri, and then you get Kentucky at home. So that's your first, five games. You're not going to do homecoming really in that first 5 weeks. You just on the calendar, you're probably not going to do it.
Yeah, it's too early.
So the Kentucky game's probably out, right? And that might be one of the ones that you look at. Then you look at the rest of the schedule. All right, you're 5-0, and you say, okay, well, what's the next block of games? And when can we get these fans on campus the most? When do we need them on campus the most, Theo? You're going to LSU the next week, 50-50, toss a coin. You might be 5-1, you might be 6-0. Then you've got Oklahoma coming to town right there October 18th. And yeah, that might be a real good week to have it. But if you're 7-0, 6-1, if you're 6-1, if you're 5-2, if you're 5-2 because you've lost 2 weeks in a row at LSU and you've just been beaten at home by Oklahoma, you're 5-2 and you really need something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're 5-2. Our playoff hopes are over. Maybe we lost to Vanderbilt and we're 4-3 and our playoff hopes are over. Are over in quotation marks. But they're not over if you beat Alabama and you're 5-3. That gets you a big old boost. If you're 6-2, you beat Alabama, big old boost right back into the 12-team playoff sphere. I think that this is because the next week you're back on the road at Ole Miss and you're not going to have it. You bye week, you're at Texas A&M. You could have it the week before the Clemson game. You've got Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers, but you're starting to trend too late there.
That's also right before Thanksgiving.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to do it.
All your fans are traveling to their mama's house, their grandmama's house, and they're having turkey, and they're watching that Coastal Carolina game on the big screen with their family, right? So you're trending towards Thanksgiving there. It's too late. Mm-hmm. So your options here are Oklahoma and Alabama. Those are if I am a South Carolina administrator, those are the two options. And sure, you could say Oklahoma and make it homecoming, but then the Oklahoma fans are saying the exact same hooey that you just said, Hunter. They're disrespecting us. Da, 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 da. And look, maybe the Oklahoma brand isn't as pristine as Alabama, but you may as well. Like, they're in that blue blood category. I think, what, 8 blue bloods in college football, and they're one of the 8, in my opinion. I don't think that this is disrespect, Hunter. I think this is strategic play for the for the fan base, strategic play for the season that they're expecting to have. If you're 4-3 entering that Alabama game, you really need everybody to, oh, shoot, we're 4-3. Shane Beamer's a bozo. I don't want to go watch them lose to Alabama. I don't want to go watch them get drummed by 3 scores to Alabama. I'm not they're going to man, right? If you're 4-3 and there's nothing and you're already out of hope, your hope is evaporated at that point. Well, it's homecoming. Yeah. Well, my fraternity's throwing a big party. My sorority's throwing a big party. My four-letter organization, my Greek organization, whatever organization I was in, my ROTC, my band camp, whatever the case may be, is throwing a big old party. And, Billy's fraternity, I used to go to all his parties. They're going to have a big, a connection point to go back there for. And plus, you get it. Well, all the parents, son's fraternity is having a big deal or son's, whatever the case may be.
Joe,
I think that Hunter is reaching here, and I think this is a strategic play by the South Carolina administration.
And let's play the opposite game. Let's say everything goes perfectly.
Sure.
For Carolina, right?
You're 7-0.
You're 6-0 entering the Oklahoma game, right? You win your first 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, you're a 45-year-old South Carolina grad. You're living anywhere in the country. You're living, let's say, Midwest or something. So anywhere in the country where it's a trip to get in. And you want to bring the wife, the family into South Carolina for a weekend. What do you choose? Are you choosing? You're not going to choose Oklahoma just because that's homecoming. You're going to say, no, I won't go to homecoming. I'm going to Alabama the next week regardless. Like, that's when people are going to. That's when all the alumni are going to pour in either way. Why not make it homecoming?
Yeah, I think this is a very strategic play by the administration. I don't think this is a slap in the face to Alabama. Now, look, does Alabama, you don't even need a slap in the face. You beat this team by 2 points at home last year, and quite frankly,
kind of deserved to
was
lose.
Was fortunate. Yes. Yeah. It's fortunate to do that. They score, and yes, they get a miraculous onside kick. Lenore throws an interception into the end zone, ends the game. But, man, 4 inches one way, 4 inches another way. That's a touchdown pass, and you've lost at home.
That is the most, I would argue, I'd not even argue, I'd say without a doubt, that is the most frustrated I've ever been watching a game in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Now, I've only got 2 years of experience, but like...
Evan Stewart and Kyle Kennard and Tonka Hemingway were just... I don't know what the best word to say, but they were absolutely everywhere and made the offense. I mean, the offense that was already starting to junk up at that point, that was probably one of the biggest, like, ooh, this offense is evaporating and in front of our face.
That game was miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 11 a.m. The whole stadium's hung over. They're just looking for an easy win. And South Carolina's just, man, everyone was just so annoyed.
DeBoer and company doesn't need any extra motivation, I don't think. You can sell them on the 2-point win last year and how, you know, fortunate you were. You can sell them on the intimidating environment of Williams-Brice Stadium, and I do think it's one of the more underrated environments. And like, those two factors alone, and you can sell them on where you are in the season. You're in the middle of a really hard stretch of your schedule. A bye week is coming up for Alabama in the next 2 weeks. I'm not looking at the Bama schedule, but you're getting a bye week. I think the next week is the next one. Like, you can sell a lot of things for this Alabama day, and I guess just why not cherry on top? And they scheduled you for homecoming because they think you're chumps. But I don't think this from the South Carolina perspective, it's let's schedule Alabama because they're chumps. I think it's everything that you alluded to. Let's make the Alabama game homecoming because of just everything that the way it plays out.
Yeah, you know, looking at the Alabama schedule, it really does.
You get a bye the next week, right?
Yeah, and I think the game falls at a very
challenging time.
Very challenging time, but also a very big point in the schedule where you're coming off the Tennessee game.
Yes,
we know that could very easily be a loss. I mean, not sugarcoating things. And I know I'm higher on Tennessee than some other people are. That game could go, however. You have a bye coming into the LSU game. You really have to win. I mean, look, we can't predict what the record is. You could be undefeated. You could have 2 losses at that point. You really just got to go in there, take care of business. Coming into that bye, you have 4 games left. One of them's Eastern Illinois. One of them's the Iron Bowl. So just like that, after that South Carolina game, calendar flips in November. We're in the home stretch of the season.
It gets cold in town. Love it. I can't wait for it to get cold in town.
I can't wait for it to not be 95 degrees with humidity.
This is your first summer all the way here, right?
I'll say.
What's your thoughts on it? This is your first time being here the whole summer,
it is
right?
Rough. You know, so I went home last week. So I was home in New York for a week, and then I was in Atlanta. And getting back down here, it's like, oh, you're hit. And I don't even think it's been as bad right now compared to what it was like at the beginning of the month. But that stretch, end of June, like to the second week of July, man, when I was outside and I wasn't in the pool up on the roof,
you're swimming already in humidity.
So bad. Got to bring like an extra t-shirt everywhere. Mm-hmm. You're just going to sweat right through that. I don't know how y'all do it. I'm trying to toughen myself up there. Now, if it was 30 degrees and snowing, you guys could not handle that. So I've got one on you guys all there.
I would prefer that.
I would too.
I'd prefer it to be 34 degrees, just slight precipitation.
Now, I'm the psychopath who will wear shorts in that weather, so.
No, I won't go shorts. I'll be pants and a shirt for sure and a jacket, but I'd rather it be, because okay, I'm a big hoodie guy. Love me a hoodie. So any excuse to wear a hoodie, I'm game.
You know, I haven't worn long sleeves or a pair of pants all like,
you're
in, like,
wearing
4 months.
Outside. Oh my gosh, you are nude behind that camera.
Like seriously, if I'm not at work, if I don't have to anchor or at SEC Media Day, like. Nothing but shorts.
You weren't wearing pants anchoring last night?
We're hidden from the waist down.
No, I'm teasing. Theo definitely is covered up. Yeah. He's being modest. He's modest. Absolutely. Don't want to, for all the audio listeners, I want to let him know that he is being appropriate.
Always appropriate here.
Absolutely. Anything else we got, Theo, for today? Or we're about burnt out of content at this point?
No, I think we had a good little run there of, you know, besides Hunter's delusions there. You know, Hunter, how about them Braves?
Oh, don't do that, Joe. You know, Derek Daniels is a big Braves fan as well. You want to talk a little mess to Derek and the Braves fan? Did y'all go 2 out of 3 or did you sweep all 3?
Yeah, we went 2 out of 3, but I just got to say, you host the All-Star game. It's like, oh, this is going to turn the season around. We're going to have all the momentum now. You're 12 games under 500.
The Yankees win.
The Yankees win. Oh, man, I love it. Look, you're 10.5 games back of the wild card right now in Atlanta. This is a team that needs to make a move at the deadline desperately.
Gary wants everybody to sell, sell, sell.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think it should be a little like quick retool. I think you got to trade Ozuna. I think it like absolutely has to happen. Man, that game on Saturday, 7-2 lead. And then all year I've been hearing it's the constant chirping like, oh, Anthony Volpe sucks. He's a horrible baseball. What did he do? He hits 2 homers. Get this man some chicken cutlets. He had me fired up. And then Trent Grisham, grand slam in the 9th. That's how y'all are going to go out? And we didn't even...
Yankees win.
We didn't pitch Rodon. We didn't pitch Max Fried. Y'all got beaten by our scrubs. Look, I want New York to make a move at the deadline. I want them to bring someone in. But this is the year. This is the year for my Yankees.
We'll certainly be paying attention to it. And after the All-Star break, it's time to pay attention to baseball for a casual fan like me. So we'll see what's at play. Theo, tell everybody where they can find you, and we will talk to you next week if you want to have the last word. And then I'll tell everybody what we'll do tomorrow with Mason Woods.
They can find me on X at @TheoFernandez_. Little positive for Braves fans. Ozuna or Acuna. Acuna is incredible. 13 homers in 48 games. So I want to leave you all with something to be happy about. And Justin LeBron will be incredible when y'all take him in the draft, which I know Hunter Brantley really, really wants. And that'd be fun. That'd be awesome getting to cover him in Atlanta. But that's all I've got. And
follow Theo Fernandez _ on the Twitter machine. We're going to be back tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show. I will play Deontay Lawson tomorrow. We'll lead the show with Deontay Lawson's interview, and Mason will be back. So we are really, I think today is 40 days away from Alabama kickoff. So we'll be at 39 days away. My friend Taylor Gibson, I played with him in high school. You don't know him, but I do. Wore 39. That is one of the ugliest numbers there is. So we'll be at 39 tomorrow. We're at 40 today. 40 days until Thomas Castellanos gets his comeuppance. And so you can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340. You leave us a comment, Theo Fernandez _, Joe Gaither 6, @BamaCentral, or wherever you find the show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at @JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.